Good morning, everyone. How are you doing? Listen, I'm honored to be here this morning with Pastor C.V. Andrews over here just on the outskirts of Atlanta. I'm a guest here this morning, and that's all I'll be sharing tonight at a special service. And so I'm just honored to be here. I believe in kingdom connections. I believe God can supernaturally connect us. And many times we want to connect and sometimes force things, to happen. But I believe in God's grace and allowing things to happen in our lives. My name is John Killian, and my wife's not with me right now. She's a social worker up there in Westminster, South Carolina. Well, she has a ministry herself. She goes into homes and investigates child abuse. And I tell you what, if there's never been a ministry, you ought to go sometime with her on a case and have to go into a home and see a husband and wife fighting, and then see a kid being abused physically and mentally, and it's a sad situation. And so my wife cannot sometimes go and preach the gospel to them formally because, the state and federal regulations prohibit the preaching of the gospel in a literal way. But my wife, when she goes into a home, she shows the love of Jesus, and she brings biblical principles and truth into a home to begin to show that, listen, if you do things this way, and she says, well, for me as a Christian, I've learned if I do things this way and I prepare myself to do and to walk into things of truth, that I'll begin to have a family that'll be a lot more established. And so my wife gets to begin to propagate and bring the gospel into a way where it can be very practical and bring biblical principles in it. So many times God has called us many times to use different tools to come in to begin to bring the gospel. And sometimes, as evangelists, we go and shock people rather than to come in there and to begin to bring the gospel in a way that people can begin to be ministered in love and in the truth. So I just ask you, anytime you minister to somebody, and I'm speaking as evangelists, that you go in there and you say, Lord, what do you want me to say to them this morning? What do you want me to say tonight? What tool can I use, Lord, be it the internet or anything? What tool can I use for them to begin to have an understanding of the gospel? We use tracts and so on. But listen, we got to think about each situation. And listen, I do appreciate my wife. She traveled with me for over 7 years across the seas. My wife and I, we have been to England and Scotland and Wales and Tanzania and Kenya and Canada and Mexico. And 4 times we've been to India. And we just had a phenomenal, phenomenal time in India. And I just saw some phenomenal miracles over there. But I just want to get back to this today, that God can use you. Listen, it doesn't matter what background you come out from. Now, let me just say this. And this is not an uncomfortable thing to say, but I come from a lifestyle of drugs and alcohol and failed relationships. And so you think, well, listen, God can't use someone like me because I've failed at this and I've become a drug addict. Maybe I had a criminal record. Maybe I've been locked up in jails. Maybe I had a DUI. Listen, Jesus says all things have become new. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creation. All things are made new. Now, in order for all things to be made new, you got to stay in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. So it is not just accepting Christ. It is staying in Christ. It is not just accepting him as your Lord. It is in making him the Lord part of your life every day in your life. And so if you want Christ to change your life, you got to spend some time with him, and you got to begin to see that spending time with it and relationship, that God truly is a God of love, and that yes, he brings correction and truth, but he wants to see your life change because he has created your life to be sustained under him. And so that's why it says that the people of the earth, that he inhabits the praise of his people, because he has created you and I, listen, to walk in a certain way, and that certain way is total worship to him. When we go contrary to that word and contrary to what that walk is, then we get into the place that things become foreign to us. And listen, and we don't have the relationship as we would have with a father and son. And so, listen, in 1994, before 1994, I was on drugs for over 16 and a half years. I made a mess of people's life. I had a DUI. I was involved in Mormonism. I was involved in all kinds of different sects and religions and cults. And because I was trying to find God, and I was trying to find him. And so I went to all kinds of denominations. I went to the Catholic Church, the Protestant Church. I went to so many, different denominations. I was trying to find God. And I thought maybe a certain denomination could set me free. But I found out it is not in a denomination. It isn't in the name of the church. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in 1994, first of all, I got tired of church. I didn't have nothing to do with God anymore. I was tired of people preaching to me. Every time I had a chance to go to the altars, I went to the altars and I repented and I confessed Christ, but I didn't have that change in my life. And all I had was, I had a form of godliness, but denying the power of, the Bible says, from such turn away. So I had a form that I had formed in my mind what Christianity was like. And it was, just do's and don'ts and don't do this and don't do that. And so, when people have been preaching you so long, and you've been so messed up. You messed up relationships. You messed up families. You crashed cars. You stole money. And then you got someone telling you, hey, don't do this and don't do that. I got tired of it. And so, first of all, I had nothing to do with religion anymore. I had nothing to do with Christianity. I said, listen, someone says, listen, do you know Christ as your Savior? I says, you know where you can take your Jesus? I was so mad. I was so mad at religion. And I said, Lord, if you are such a good God and an awesome God, why didn't you remove these drugs from me? And so that was my question to him. Why? And so I got away from it. I didn't want to hear Christianity. In fact, I turned probably into an atheist because my dad, I was raised up an atheist. I said, I bet Dad is right. You got to just be your own man. Forget everybody else. This Christianity is a bunch of manipulations, control. I don't want nothing to do with it. And then my mom was a Buddhist. My mom believed in everything. anything you can get your whole, Buddhism was more like a philosophy to me than it was a religion. And so, I didn't know a lot about Buddhism because there was nothing black and white about Buddhism. So, but as far as Christianity, got hurt in Christianity. There's some out there right now, you've been hurt with Christianity and you've been hurt, you've been hurt with churches and you've been hurt with religion. But I'm telling you, missing, if you get a hold of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and begin to have a relationship with your Heavenly Father, you begin to father this and the Father in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, they love you with an everlasting love. And I'll tell you what, I used to base my relationship on God based on my father. And my father was very abusive. My father mentally and physically abused us. And so what happened was when I got older, I began to look for churches and religion that was abusive and controlling. And so I emulated a lot from what my father did to me as what my father in heaven was like. And listen, I want to tell you folks out here, listen to right now, that listen, our father is not like our natural father. And some of you had some awesome natural fathers. I never met one, but I've met some good fathers out here. They're my spiritual fathers now. But listen, you know why? Because they have spent time with the Lord Jesus Christ and got to know their Heavenly Father, and they emulate the Father that, listen, that begins to bring the love from above. And so I just went through life. I didn't want it, nothing to do with Christianity, religion anymore. And so I began to take a lot of drugs to kill the pain. That's why some of you out here doing drugs. That's why you're here drinking, because you have no answers to life. And something is killing you. Someone hurt you. Your wife left you. Your girlfriend left you, whatever it is. And you don't have the answers to life. And so you take drugs and you take drinking to begin to pour that, to begin to kill the feeling in your life. And that's what it is. That's what drugs is, man. It's something just to kill the feeling, to kill the pain for a while, because you can't deal with reality anymore. And the thing is, folks, when you get a hold of Jesus, man, and listen, he becomes a big part of your life. Guess what? You're going to start walking in love. You're going to have self-confidence, not only in God, but in yourself. You're going to believe that, listen, God has great plans for you. He has a purpose for your life, that his righteousness begins to overcome you and his righteousness supersedes you. It's not your righteousness. There's nothing that you can do anymore to try to please God except, listen, yield totally to the change in your life. You need for him to come down and change you. And that's why a person like me, full of rebellion in the past, walked around saying, I'm going to do my own thing. Listen, this is my own way. You hurt me. You ain't going to hurt me no more. And I'm just going to be rebellious. And listen, I tell you what. Listen, the biggest change of submitting is to let Christ have his way in your life. And number one, it is submitting your life to him and yielding. all the hurts, everything, your finances, everything, just yielding to him. I say, God, show me how to do it. Now, listen, what he's going to do next is not, listen, he's not going to come down and sit with you and teach you how to do things. God is going to send spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers into your life. He's going to send, listen, natural fathers, listen, with a spiritual heart to begin to mentor you in your life. And that's, listen, that's the first thing on your success and your walk in victory, is that you submit one to another, and that, listen, God will bring an authority in your life, a spiritual father, to begin to train you and teach you the ways of him. Okay, listen, I'm preaching here now. And listen, some of you say, well, listen, I don't want any more authority. They've tried to take, try to control me. But I'm telling you, God will send a spiritual father, a loving father. Listen, love is not just compassion, but love is telling you the truth when you're going the wrong way. Now, listen, I used to be almost $18,000 in bills. $18,000 in bills. Listen, that's how much I owed. And so when I married my wife, see, my wife, she totally was debt-free. You know, I said, hey, folks, if you're going to marry a debt-free woman, amen? But see, my wife, she says, no, why? She says, now, I know you got $18,000 debt. And she said, what are you going to do about it? I said, well, I'm going to have Jesus take all my bills away. And she said, well, John, that sounds right. But listen, most likely, God probably won't do that. And I'll tell you why God won't do something like that. Because, first of all, for you to get into that debt, it took you to do it. Now, if God removes the $18,000 debt, that's never going to change your life. It's never going to change the pattern of the way you spend things in life to have you change in order to not to get into debt. So what God did with my wife is my wife, literally, because she had resources and she had authority and finances, she sat down with me and she trained me and taught me how to get out of debt. And listen, folks, the few years has gone by. We've been married 13 years now. And listen, and I am totally out of the major debt. Of course, you have your basic debt, electricity and stuff like that, car payment. But listen, I'm totally out of $18,000 debt now because someone sat with me. And people out here, I'm telling you, the only way you're going to see things change in your life is that you get submitted to someone who can help train you and teach you. Get around people that are more successful than you so they can help train you and to be successful. Number two, you need to find a good Bible preaching church where the signs and wonders and the fullness of the gospel, listen, they believe in casting out devils. They believe in praying, speaking in tongues. They believe in praying heaven down and hell out the door. They believe that God still heals today, that there's spiritual gifts that still operate out of 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he's a supernatural God, and he still continues to move in your life today. And so you need to get around this, and you don't need to go to some dead church that talks about what Jesus Christ used to do but fails to talk about what he's doing today. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what's happening out here is sometimes some people who are in the full gospel are getting away from the full gospel because they're tired of warring in the spirit. And so they want to go to some church over there where they can sing three hymns and three hers and get out in 30 minutes. But I tell you what, you're going to have to listen. If you're going to spend time with God and you want to see miracles and power, you're going to have to sit in the services, and sometimes you have to pray for hours and spend time in his presence and worship him. And then all of a sudden, whoom, he comes in like a mighty rushing wind, and healing begins, and people begin to prophesy in miracles. Folks, you're not going to get God to move in 20, 30 minutes. He's not the God of the American culture. He's not the God of the Western culture where you can have him when you want to. God comes, listen, he comes when he's invited and when he's worshiped and when the word is being preached and when people don't compromise the gospel. Romans 1:16 says, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And so go to the church, listen, go to a church where there's no compromise. Go to the church where you can be healed. Go to a church where you can sense the presence of God. In the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. And so for those of you coming out of addiction, I want to begin to say, this morning, get around someone who can train you. If someone's been free from drugs for 20, 30 years, get around those people. Hey, how did you do it? What did you do to stay out of drugs? Listen, who did you hang around with? Listen, that's another thing too. The people you hang around with. It's a bad company corrupts good morals. 1 Corinthians 15:33. listen, you're going to have to change your lifestyle. You're going to have to change your friends, the people you hang around with. You know, when you go to church, you got new friends. When you're around a spiritual mentor, they want accountability out of you. They say, where you been today? I said, it's none of your business where you've been. I said, listen, the problem, this and the reason you got in the problems in the past is because you wanted to do what you want to do. If you want me to help bring change in your life, we need accountability. You need to say, hey, I'm coming here. Folks, it's not control. First of all, let me just say this, that if you got out of control in the past, why did you get out of control? Because you have no control of your life. And the thing is, that's why drug addicts and criminals are locked up in institutions, because the Bible says to bind up the strong man. And so obviously there's a strong man moving in your life that just, you can't take care of him anymore. So that's why you're locked up in an institution in a drug rehab, because you are lawless and you can't go out here and make anything of your life. So you become instituted. And so what happens is the law begins to judge you because you're a lawbreaker. Grace comes to those who submit to grace. Grace comes to those folks who listen, who begin to look at the word and begin to walk in the word and make it a lifestyle. Amen. So listen, none of this greasy grace about I can do what I want to do. Jesus is still going to save me. Listen, I'm telling you what, the thing is, if you're obedient and willing, God says you'll eat the good of the land. And so the thing is, yes, submit yourself to somebody who you have accountability. You know, I don't believe a wife and a husband should have two bank accounts. I believe there should be one. You shouldn't hide anything from your wife. You shouldn't hide anything from your loved one. I think you should be transparent for one another. And so that's what accountability be. When you go to church in Hebrews 10:25, you begin to what? Hear the preaching of the word. How shall we hear without a preacher? Don't listen, let us not be conformed to this word, but let us be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so what you need to do is you need a transformation of your mind. And listen, you need to get all the thoughts you've had when you were a drug addict in the world and begin to take on the thoughts of God. So what are his thoughts towards you? What does he say about going out and dating? What does he say about living with a woman? What does he say all about? God sets these things because he's looking out for our purposes and our plans in our life. God loves us. And listen, he created us, and he doesn't want to see us going that way. So listen, coming under accountability, going to church, and thirdly, changing your friends. Get around people, listen, that have a high standard. That's why I like hanging around righteous people. Now, I'm not saying everybody is perfect, but I'm just saying there's certain things that you can go in people's homes and you can't do. And because they've set a standard, listen, those are the people you want to hang around with. You don't want to hang around people that are just so loose all the time and just want to do what they want to do. You know what? Because you're going to get influence. And young people, I'm talking to you today. Listen, you may seem like you're going to have fun out here, but I tell you what, the consequences of sin is death. And listen, you're going to have a lifestyle that, listen, will continue to bring death to your life, death to your disposition. You're going to lose your joy. You're going to lose your honor because you go the ways opposite of what God is saying in your life. And after my drug addiction in 1994, I totally got set free in a meeting. This lady says, John, would you come to one more service? I said, listen, I don't want to hear nothing about Jesus. She said, John, there's something special about this service. And this is 1994 in Louisville, Kentucky, that I went to this service. And she says, there's something special there. She says, you can really feel the presence of God there. And people are doing all kinds of strange things. I said, what are they doing? They said they're falling on the floor and they're laughing and they're crying and they're weeping and people are screaming, these demons are screaming out of them. And I said, my goodness. I said, I've heard of stuff like this, but I've never been to a service like that. She says, you got to come to the service. There's an evangelist speaking there. So the first night I went there and the worship went on for 2 hours. I said, 2 hour worship. You know, some of you in worship for 15, 20 minutes, you want to get out of church. But we were in worship for 2 hours, and you know what? The demons inside of me didn't like it. And I tell you what, demons don't like worship. When we worship Jesus Christ and him lifted up, he hates it. And so I had to get out of that service, man. So I walked out there, grabbed myself a cigarette, started smoking a cigarette. I said, this is terrible. You know, I'm tired of this Christianity stuff. And so she says, John, she says, I know this isn't work tonight. Listen, would you come out one more night? And so I told her, okay, I'll come out one more night because you're my friend. So I came up that night, and listen, it was 5,000 people there in the auditorium, and this minister from South Africa was ministering, And all of a sudden, while I was up there in the back of the podium, in the back of this, the Coliseum, when this minister began to speak, I saw seeing this cloud start to rise up from him. And now I don't know if I was naturally seeing this or I was spiritually seeing this, but listen, folks, I call it the Shekinah glory of God now. And I saw the glory of God rise up from this man. And you know, the first three rows where the ministers were sitting there, and that cloud didn't go towards them. I thought, well, you know, they're ministers. I think the cloud would go. The cloud started going into the Coliseum, and they begin to touch people like myself. And I saw some more drug people there. You know, some people that hung out in the streets, I saw them there at the service. I said, what are they doing here? You know, they were probably asking, what are you doing here? You know, and I saw, listen, that was a day that God set up. It was a date book. It was appointed time for us to be there that night at that service. And I saw the glory of God begin to move up in the arena. And as you begin to move, the people begin to go crazy. It's like you threw something on an anthill. And the glory of God began to move. The power of God began to hit that place, and people just begin to go wild. And I saw this cloud coming towards me. And for the first time in my life, with my heart, my whole heart, and with my mouth confessing, I said, Jesus, if you're real, come into my life right now. And listen, and how many times I've been down at the altar, but I never did it with sincerity in my heart and never believed until that night. And listen, and within 3 minutes, the power of God hit me and knocked me on the floor. And I laid out there on the power of God for 30 minutes. I was just shaking. I felt like someone got 32,000 volts of electricity and put it on top of my head. And I was shaking and shaking. And next thing you know, in Acts 2, they said, Peter, these people are drunk. And Peter says, he's not drunk as you suppose. And this was spoken, the prophet Joel, that in the last days I'll pour out my spirit. And I got up from the floor like a drunk man. I was just like, and you know, that night I was on drugs. I was taking drugs that night. And I thought, I might have taken the wrong drugs. And I said, I never felt this before. I just felt this absolutely power. I felt this compassion. And all of a sudden, I felt like I was like a drunk man. I said, what's happening here? And then the joy of the Lord overcame me. I started laughing and just begin to praise him. And then the brother, the evangelist, gave the invitation to come down and to the altar call, to come down and listen. And with my mouth, I confessed and believed my heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And I gave my heart 100% that night. And I said, Lord, it doesn't matter. Listen, it doesn't matter about my car, my place. It doesn't matter. Wherever you want to send me, I'll go. And when I went back to my parents, I told my parents, Mom and Dad, I've changed. She said, oh, they said, you said that all these years. You said you were a Mormon. You said you were this and you were that. They said, we don't believe you. But look, Mom and Dad, I'm not smoking cigarettes anymore. You know? They said, I've been smoking for 20 something years. And all of a sudden, in one day, I lost the desire to smoke cigarettes. You know, I was craving alcohol and drugs. The craving was all gone. And folks, I'm telling you that God overnight can quicken a person who's been dead. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. And he that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Listen, his word won't return void. It will accomplish the very thing that was sent out to do. And guess what? From there, I thought, well, I'm saved now. I'm born again. What do I do now? And you know, guess what? He's got a plan and a purpose for our life. He said, I know the plans I have towards you, the thoughts I have towards you, good thoughts and plans to succeed. And so 3 months later, I got a hold of this Bible school, and I filled out an application. They turned me down 3 times because I had been in jail. You know, they thought, well, we don't know if we want to take any criminals in the Bible school. But to make a long story short, I went down there, and 3 months after I was saved, and they took me into the Bible school, and I listened. And that was part of my church for 11 years. 11 years, Pastor. That was part of my church. Now, let me tell you something. The reason some of you don't see success in your ministry, in your life, because you're bouncing around churches. You're bouncing around. You're not submitted to one authority. You're not submitted to a pastor who can speak into your life. You know, it's like relationships today. When people can't have a good relationship, guess what they do? They go to Walmart to trade the wife in, you know, jokingly speaking. My wife she don't work anymore. She don't work like this computer. I want to trade her in. And that's what we do here in America. You know, when our relationship is not working out, we want to get a new relationship. But I want to tell you what, God is looking for commitment. He's looking for faithfulness. And one of the reasons, listen, I got saved in 1994, went to Bible school, okay, in 1994, in 1999, my wife and I were in full-time ministry. And so in 5 years, okay, of being born again, God got a hold of my life and sent me overseas, sent me to England, sent me to work with Hispanic drug addicts, sent me to Canada, I mean, sent me to Guyana, sent me to India 4 times. Imagine God took someone literally from off the streets, okay, got a hold of my life and took me to a Bible school, trained me, had me submit to one pastor, one church, okay? And you know what I did while I was there? I didn't just twiddle my thumbs and dream. I'm going to open this, I'm going to close with this scripture here. I got maybe just a few more verses, but in Exodus chapter 4, verse 1, then Moses answered and said, but suppose they won't believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. In verse 2, so the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. When I went to that Bible school, first of all, I didn't know what my talents were. I didn't know what my gifts. But listen, what I did was I took what was in my hand wherever I was. If I was cleaning the church, I was cleaning the parking lot, I was cutting the grass, whatever I did, my hands became the rod. And what I did is I took the rod that was in my hand and I cast it on the ground that where I was at. I placed what I did know on the ground, and you know, and guess what? The Red Seas and the seas of my life begin to divide me for destiny and purpose in my life. And so as I was faithful every year at that church and I served, guess what? God showed me year by year what I was to do. And so that's why Jesus said, if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom, let him be the servant of all. And so I took the first thing as I served. I didn't know what my gifts were. But you know what? After 2-3 years in the church, a pastor in leadership can know what your gift is. Some of you out here, listen, you want to make it big. You want to make it a ministry. You want to feel important. We all want to feel important. The thing is, Christ didn't call us to be important. He says sometimes it's just your duty to do it. And just like in the military, no one's out here to please nobody. In the military, you're to serve and do your duty and serve your country. And it's the same with the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're there to serve him, and you submit to him. You submit to your authorities. And guess what? Because one day, you're going to be an authority figure. You're going to be a pastor one day, and you want people to begin to respect and submit to one another. And so that's why in 5 years, God did such a quick work in my life. And listen, when you're bouncing around from one doctrine, one church to another church, one pastor, next person, you know what happens? You become spiritually bipolar. You know, you become spiritually crazy. And, you know, after a while, you don't even know what you believe in anymore. You don't. And that's why people right now are getting away from the simplicity of the word, because they don't even know what they believe anymore. And I just want to tell you that, listen, that the key to success, the key, Jesus, listen, in Matthew 16:19, Jesus never said, I will give you the keys. He didn't say, I have given you the keys. He said, I will give you the keys. And the will give you is a condition. And listen, your key is to walk out, listen, what God has called you to walk out, to be faithful, to be submitted, and just to be submitted one to another, and not to cause trouble along the way, I know more than the pastor and all that stuff. That's a bunch of garbage. If you know more than the pastor, why don't you start your own church? Listen, you know, it's like a teenager thinks they know it all after a while, and then when they get out here, they don't know what they're doing. But listen, I want to tell you, you submit, and then God releases you. And then one day, listen, now my wife and I, we have our own ministry now. And, you know, before we had our own ministry, God had us submit to other ministries and pastors. And they trained us and showed us what was wrong and what was right. And I want to tell you, that's the key. And listen, if you can swallow your pride for 4 or 5 years and submit to somebody and stay faithful in church and love God and love people, you know what? God will cause all your steps to be ordered and be successful in your life. And so now, I was in my second year in Bible school. A man came from New York City. He says, I'm looking for somebody to work with drug addicts. And I said to myself, Lord, I don't want to work with them folks. You know, and then all of a sudden I went to bed that night, and all of a sudden something kept prompting my heart. Call that man up. I want you to go to New York. I said, Lord, I don't want to go to New York. I don't want to do something like that. He said, those are drug addicts. And Lord said, who do you think you were? And listen, whatever you come out from, usually God will have you face that again. So listen, that can become your anointing. and God can give you authority for that. And so guess what? I volunteered. I went to New York City and worked with Hispanic gangs and drug addicts. We lived in a two-story house with 25 drug addicts, one bathroom, one shower. We would go out into the Wall Street, and we would go out in the Times Square. We'd go out in the Central Park and pick up homeless people and drug addicts, and we would give them a chance to get their lives changed. And folks, I saw hundreds and hundreds of people come from the streets, come to the streets of Philadelphia, New York City, come and get changed because of this cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what? Those guys came there, and guess what I was doing? I was helping now them train how to get out of drug addiction. And so listen, that's the exciting thing about being a Christian, about being in ministry, and God's called every one of us into the ministry of reconciliation. He's called every one of us to take a hold of someone and help mentor him and change your life. And God's given me the responsibility right now to work with young people. You can check our website, sledgehammerministries.com. You can see, like, we have a lot of young people in there. I'm an ex-Army Ranger. I used to jump out of perfectly good airplanes. I used to be a sergeant in the Army. And now I'm training young people how to be successful in ministry and how to do evangelism out here in Mexico and Canada. And we might be taking a group to Puerto Rico. But folks, listen, that's my testimony, to come out from the streets, to come out from drugs, and to go into a Bible school that was strict. I mean, no television, no this. I said, man, what is all this? You know, and I thought I was leaving all that control stuff. But, you know, see, if you have problem with rules, then you'll have a problem with God. And, you know, sometimes like this pastor here, in his home, you know, this pastor is of Indian descent. You know, you respect because you take your shoes off before you come in the house. Well, if you got a problem with that, man, how are you going to handle ministry? How are you going to handle fitting in the world when you can't honor someone and take your shoes off and honor according to their custom and come in their house? Folks, you're not ready for ministry. You're not ready for any type of authority if you can't submit to someone's law, someone's rule. And so listen, the more Christ rules in us, the less things become insignificant that we thought was hard before. And so coming to the conclusion, at the third year of my Bible school, I used to have trouble with rules and this. You know what? God got a hold of me so much that the rules didn't bother me no more. Oh, take my shoes off? Certainly. You know, wear a tie? Certainly. Because listen, if we submit to Christ, we'll submit to one another in love and we'll honor one another. And we won't go around purposely trying to offend somebody. Amen. So I'd like to thank Pastor Sivu Andrews for giving me the opportunity this morning to look forward to life. I want to tell you right now, I want to challenge people out there. You feel this heavy oppression on your life. The world right now, you know, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 through 3 says, gross darkness is covering the earth and gross darkness, people. He said, but I'll rise over you and my glory will be seen. We're coming into a glorious time, folks. And if you give up now, you're never going to see what God has for your life. And I'm encouraging you, pastors out here, whatever. I know I'm young in ministry, but I want to encourage you to hang tough and listen. Because listen, this world has nothing to offer me no more. There's nothing out here for me. And everything Christ has given me, he's taken me around the world, debt-free, taking me for all, give me a beautiful wife. You know, I got a beautiful home on Lake Hartwell. I got two cars. I mean, and then 13, 14 years ago, I was homeless, man. I came here with $20 in my pocket. Listen, we serve a good God. I said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging for bread, he said. And he said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. And he said that he would cause all our needs. And listen, and we would be abundantly blessed. And so, listen, if you stay in faith in these last days, I know the economy, it's scary and things are crashing. But listen, my God, he said he'd take care of you. He said with food and raiment, learn to be content thereat. And so, he's not called us to be rich, but rich in faith and have enough to give to others. Amen. So I think in America, we have been pretty spoiled. I'll say that. Maybe we'll get repercussions from this. I think we've had more than enough. You know, I got a joke. How many heard about the Pentecostal that went through the drive-thru? Give me three shakes and a roll, you know, but that's a joke. But we have so much abundance here in America. We almost have too much. And so, yes, we're coming in some lean times, but, you know, there's some things that we can cut off from our life that we don't need. But listen, what we do need is we need unity with the body of Christ. We need to get along with one another. And listen, get together with Brother C.V. Andrew here and get this gospel all over the world. Get this gospel all over the world. And folks, and I tell you what, great is our reward. Amen. So listen, I want to close. Fathers, for all our listeners out here, I ask you, Lord, that you would meet their needs. And Father, that they would draw nigh to you. And Lord, just like you would draw nigh to them. And Father, that they would submit themselves to their leaders, Lord, not fight against them and try to take over. We come against the spirit of Jezebel. We come against the Absalom spirit. We come against any, listen, the Balaam spirit, the spirit that, you know, wants to take money from people and manipulate. Lord, we come against those spirits right now. We come against people that have the money and want to take over the churches and want to manipulate pastors. We come against all that. And let me tell you something, pastors, you need to recognize that and come against that right now in the name of Jesus and set that thing down. Listen, I don't care if it's a mechanic in the back there. You know, make him your elder, man, because you know he's submitted. You know, he loves the people. He loves the church. Man, get a mechanic up there rather than someone who can go there and manipulate. Father, for all those around the world where their churches are just struggling, Lord, may they be content with what they have. Lord, if they can train four or five John Killians, Lord, as myself, if they can just train one or two John Killians and send more across the world that can change other people's lives, Lord, then so be it. Then 15 or 2,000 or 3,000 members in a church, Lord, if we can just have one Gideon, one Joshua, one of those who can go and multiply and change the world. Oh, these 12 have turned the world upside down. Amen. One Apostle Paul, one Peter. That's all we need, Lord. If one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. And so, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for persistence. I thank you that these pastors and leaders and ministers all over the world will hang tough and know our Jesus will do great exploits in his name. And we say all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.